Hello and welcome to another episode of Rosie's Juke Joint. And tonight is a very special episode because tonight we'll be speaking with Anthony Gomes, a Toronto-based blues musician who just put out a really fantastic new album called Electric Field Hauler. And I got a chance to interview him. Here's the interview. First of all, Anthony, welcome to Rosie's Juke Joint.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Glad to have you. I'd like to start by asking you about this latest offering that you've put out, Electric Field Hauler. Wow, man, that's just an incredible album.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I describe it as unapologetically blues rock. And what happens a lot of times is, being a blues rocker in the blues world, sometimes you feel like the red-headed stepbrother. You know what I mean? It's like you're almost tolerated by the blues police, but you're a second-class citizen, you know. And a lot of times, blues artists, when they're making an album, they ask themselves, you know, will the blues police like this?
Right.
Is it bluesy enough? And I've even found myself in the past asking those questions, but I've always gone with my gut for better or for
worse.
Absolutely. But this time I said, you know what? I'm loud and proud, and yes, I do love Led Zeppelin and Bad Company and Free and Jeff Beck and Stevie Ray Vaughan and Jimi Hendrix.
I know you like Led Zeppelin.
And as much as I love Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and, you know, B.B. King, Albert King, Freddie King, Buddy Guy, Albert Collins, Otis Rush. Like, I love them equally as much.
Yeah.
Why should I water down my blues,
no,
man?
No, absolutely.
So I think that it's been so well received in part because of that.
So what, you know? I mean, it's why even try to pigeonhole it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I like what Lou Lombardi said in his review, that if this would have been released in the 70s, it would have probably dominated the rock charts. Then he kind of mentioned Rick Derringer and a few other folks from that era that, you know. But, it's absolutely amazing. How did you come about writing and recording this one? I know you were collaborated with Jim Peterik and Gary Nicholson, who weren't... not too shabby to have for help on that.
Yeah. So on 12 songs, there's 3 co-writes.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so 9 I wrote on my own,
right,
and then I love writing with other songwriters because they bring out different sides of your personality in a musical sense.
Sure.
And the only way you can describe it is, okay, if you have, you're different around your mom and your dad than you say you're around your best friend. And you may have one of your friends that's funny. And mm-hmm. when you're around them, you crack a few more jokes. May have another friend who's, I don't know, nerdy. So you talk about Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So when you're with a different songwriter, they're just by, you sort of make a baby, and it's the song, and it has a little bit of your imprint and a little bit of theirs, but they sort of take that side of you that may not be there all the time and push it a little bit more. So definitely, that's what I love about writing with outside people.
So Anthony, we're going to start things off with a couple of tracks. I'm dedicating pretty much this whole hour to your music on this album. I'm going to start off with Love Crazy and Junk in the Trunk. Maybe you can... kind of cue it up for us. Tell us about those two.
Well, Love Crazy, basically, the idea behind that is when you're... love is a drug. And when you're in love, it's like you're on drugs. You do dumb things, man. So that's what that one is. And Junk in the Trunk...
that is fun. That is one fun track right there.
Yeah. It's nastier than the unedited photo of Kim Kardashian's booty. That's nasty, that song is. Yeah.
Right on. Well, we're going to play that right now. We'll be back after this with more from Anthony Gomes right here on Rosie's Juke Joint.
I never wanted this, not even a little. in the middle. Nothing or no one could ever slow me down. Said I'd never play with fire. Oh, baby, you made me a liar. You take me higher and higher. Got me dancing on the high wire. Got your hooks in, now I'm addicted. Great God. I'm telling me this time I lost it. I try to walk the line, babe, but this time I crossed it. Said I'd never live, no, on the left side of town. Said I'd never play with fire.
welcome back to Rosie's Juke Joint. I've got Anthony Gomes with me. We're going to continue talking here. I got Anthony, I got a question. I was reading through your bio, and turns out that you're a pretty smart fella. You got the highest overall academic grade point average by history major the year that you graduated. And it says that you went on for your master's, and you published your thesis, which you actually published. Yeah, you actually published your thesis, what was it, just recently? Or?
Yeah, you know, it's been in the can for a while, but a lot of people found out that I wrote my master's thesis on the racial evolution of blues music. And we'd always get people saying, hey, man, I'd like to read it. So we got it published, and nice. It was even nominated last year for Book of the Year by Blues 411. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. So
where can we pick that up if we want to read it?
Well, at our website. I'm glad you asked. Yeah. at anthonygomes.com.
Right on.
You get pretty much everything we have. And so it's there. And finer online bookstores everywhere. But you can certainly get it at our website.
Absolutely. All right, we're playing a couple more tracks now from Electric Field Hauler. First of all, where did that come from, Electric Field Hauler, the name? I'm not sure what that is.
There's a couple different meanings behind it. Blues really started from field haulers, which is sort of people working in the fields singing. And, you know, you can think of, you know, back to that day and people doing that. So to me, the field holler really is blues. So the title of the record is almost like Electric Blues.
Okay.
And in another way, all the songs I wrote, I didn't write with a guitar and write a riff and then put a melody around it. Mm-hmm. I wrote it in a way of like you would write an old spiritual song, which was just with my voice and humming. And then, you know, we put it through Marshalls on 11.
Interesting.
Really, so that's cool. Sort of the whole concept of the latest album.
So the next two tracks I want to play I'd love to play the whole album if I had time, but play some of my favorites from it. They're all good, though. But you've got one entitled Blues Ain't the Blues No More, which I really love. I love the lyrics. I haven't seen the devil since 44. That's great. And Blues Child. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about those two.
The Blues Ain't the Blues No More was sort of about my experience of going down to Clarksdale, Mississippi, and how things just change, you know, and how different they are today than, say, when a lot of the folklore was written. And some things stayed the same, but it just reminds me of a quote that Aristotle said, and when you put your foot in a river, a second after you put your foot in the river, it's not the same one.
Right.
Your river is always on the run, just like the blues is.
Yeah.
So, that was sort of the thinking behind that. And it wasn't, some people have written to me and go, all right, Anthony, you're going to really upset the purists. Oh, good job, kid. And it wasn't meant with that spirit in mind. It was meant to more or less say, we have to just appreciate every moment, and with change comes great loss and great advantage as well.
In a way, you're paying homage to the folks that came before us, kind of.
Exactly. So, you know, and Blues Child, it's sort of the idea that, you know, blues had a baby and called it rock and roll.
Yeah.
And so rock and roll is really a blues child.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the idea behind that one.
Now, how did you get into blues now? Were you first into rock and then kind of gradually went into blues, or how did that come about?
Yeah, I grew up in Toronto and, in the suburbs. So we had, like, radio stations like Q107, which broadcasted what you would call classic rock.
Right.
And so I loved, like, Van Halen and stuff like that when I was 13 and 14. But then I grew to... Well, then I liked Hendrix, and I dug Hendrix, and then I dug Clapton, and then, you know, I heard Stevie Ray Vaughan, and so I sort of was making my way to the blues, and then in my late teens, I bought a B.B. King CD, and that made everything make sense to me, because it was sort of like I went back to the beginning in some ways. Now, obviously not the beginning, because there's people who predate B.B., but at least in electric blues guitar playing, B.B. was... a lot more of at the beginning, you know, him and T-Bone Walker and folks like that. So I really understood, oh, now I get Jimi Hendrix way more.
You know, it's
than
so
Eric
funny.
Clapton, now that I've heard that.
It's
yeah.
so funny you mention that because a good friend of mine, he's a closet guitar player. He loves guitar. He's really good at it, but he's not one to perform in public. And he's the same way. He started out, you know, playing AC/DC, Van Halen, and then he just gradually went into, you know, the blues and you know, B.B. King and those fellows, Buddy Guy and whatnot.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if they had been playing B.B. King on the radio, I would have dug B.B. when I was 14,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But it's just something you're not exposed
That's right.
to. And then when you see it or hear it, it's like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, and to me, you know, in my album collection, you know, today I was just listening to B.B. King and I was listening to Paul Rodgers with Free and, you know, one right after the other. And it, to me, I didn't miss a beat, you know, it wasn't like, oh, that was blues. And now this is rock and roll. And it was like, oh yeah, man. Rocking. Crank it up.
Right on, man. So we're going to listen to Blues Ain't the Blues No More, followed by Blues Child, and we'll be right back with Anthony Gomes right here on CHSR FM 97.9. I'm so excited, I almost forgot my radio moniker. And you're listening to Rosie's Juke Joint. We'll be back after this.
Ow. Your daughters and sons. Every moment is precious, every second, every day. We ain't got no tomorrow, we ain't got yesterday. Listen, Mama, it ain't
It's hard, but we both know I'm a six-string stringer, a two-joint singer. Mama, I was born to play. I was born a blues child. Yeah, yeah. I was born to play the
Welcome back to Rosie's Juke Joint. I've got Anthony Gomes with me, and so excited to have him on the show. And Anthony, I just want to read a quote to you. Maybe you can elaborate on that, on what you were meaning about it. I seen it on your website. It said, blues traditionalists are like Civil War reenactors. Everyone dresses up and knows the history, but it's not real. Music has to live in the now and push an audience's way of thinking. And I kind of know where you're going at with this. Maybe you can just elaborate on what you're meaning there.
Well, it's sort of like everybody joins a little club, right? So you have a blues club or you have a biker club, and in a biker club everywhere there's the patch and, right, you know, kind of the same, yeah, you know, leather vest, sort of the same thing. Well, in the blues world, you got your bowling shirts and your Blues Brother hats and, yeah, sunglasses. And people dress up a lot like the 50s. And, they, you know, it's sort of like they're playing things in a time machine.
Right.
And to me, that's not – when Muddy Waters was alive – and doing his thing, he wasn't, traditionalists didn't like him. He was getting booed because he was playing electric guitar and doing all sorts of crazy things. Yeah, and B.B. Yeah. King was putting a string section on a blues song. I mean, who had ever heard of that?
Yeah.
So they were breaking all the rules and upsetting a lot of people while doing it.
Right.
But with time, sort of, you know, time changes your perspective.
Yeah.
So for me, traditionalists, you know, in the United States, they got a lot of Civil War reenactors, and they sort of play act the battles, and,
yeah,
they pretend that they're a certain person, and they dress like they did in, you know, 1865.
Right.
And, it's not, it's just, you know, it's just a reenactment. And I don't mean to dog anybody, and that's not my intention, but traditionalists, to me, they're sort of just going through those motions. Yeah. And they're sort of just play acting, where I think that real blues artists, in my mind, is they're just themselves, and they're proud of who they are, whatever they are. And, you know, you got Muddy Waters, who's different from Howlin' Wolf, who's different from Stevie Ray Vaughan. And to me, those are all of those guys didn't try to do what somebody else was doing, copy it. They just sort of said, hey, I like this lick. I like this guitar. I like this amp, and I'm going to do what I want to do. So, I think that the more open-minded you are to what blues is, the better time you're going to have.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's good to push the envelope.
Exactly.
I'm going to jog your memory now. Do you remember playing in Fredericton?
I do remember playing in Fredericton. We played a pub, and then played that festival.
You did the Harvest Jazz and Blues back in 2003.
Yeah.
And then, I wasn't there for that one, but I did see you at the James Joyce Pub, 5 or 6 years ago. I think you were promoting, might have been your live album. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it was something around that time. Yeah. Definitely before Up to Zero.
Yeah, but man, what a great, great live performance you put on there, man. That was just amazing.
Thank you.
We had a great time that night watching this and listening.
Yeah, we got to get back up to the Maritimes, man. It's been too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys know how to have a good time.
Well, do we try?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of heart and soul in that part of Canada.
Yeah, and we really, in Fredericton, we really are proud of our Harvest Jazz and Blues Festival and looking forward to it this year. Too bad you're not on the list, but maybe we can get you up here soon.
Yeah, well, anytime, brother. We have a great time, always have, in your town. And, anytime you want us back, man, we're just a phone call away.
Cool. I hope the Harvest Jazz and Blues organizers are listening.
Yes. And we've implanted secret backwards messages in the music.
That's right.
Fuck us for Harvest Jazz.
Absolutely.
Harvest Jazz. Yeah.
All right. Now, before the next slide, I just have one more question. You met Jeff Beck not too long ago.
Yeah.
Man, what was that like?
That was awesome. Man, you know what? I'll tell you what was great about it is that he was absolutely a cool guy.
Yeah.
And you know, as far as living guitar players, Jeff is at the top of my list.
Right.
And, because he's just, the way he plays, you know, if you put 10 of the best guitar players in the world, you know, this is all subjective, but you put 10 of the best guitar players, all of them would go right, but Jeff goes left. Like, he does these unexplainable, you know, you're not supposed to do that.
And it works. It freaking works for him.
And it works. Oh, and it works great. And that's what makes him so wonderful, you know. And he was just a really great, cool guy. We talked a lot about B.B. King because B.B. had passed away about 3 or 4 days prior to that, and they did a great version of Thrill Is Gone, and you know, and Jeff talked a little bit about guitar playing, and you know, we sort of you know, if there's 2,000 people at a show, 1,999 are guitar players,
right?
But boy, you know, he said a few things that really resonated, and ever since meeting him, I'm practicing like I'm a teenager again. I'm just so inspired by our dialogue and the guitar.
Yeah.
It was like, man, there's a lot I still got to learn. How many hours are there in a day? I felt like I was when I was 16, you know, when I was putting 10 hours a day of playing guitar. So
the learning never ends, does it? The learning never ends with guitar playing and whatnot and blues.
No. Yeah. Thank God, because, you know, it's a thing. You're always, you know, Keith Richards said, you're always a servant to music.
Right.
And the minute you think you're a master, you will be humbled. It's a constant servitude to the great force of music. But boy, it's a beautiful journey.
And I've seen that B.B. King had some nice words for you. He had a quote, very talented musician. And where did that voice come from? Directly from B.B. King.
Canada, baby. Came from Canada.
Right on.
It's funny, too, because when we play in the States, a lot of people are like, where are you from? And I'll be like, Canada. They'll be like,
but, man, that must give you goosebumps, though, when you get compliments from somebody like B.B. King. Like,
well, he's my number one, like, blues man, person, artist, human being. And you know, we've had the pleasure of playing with B.B. so many times, and I met him in my early 20s, and he's been a mentor, not only to me, but to so many people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he actually takes the time out. And has been so supportive when you're touring with him, we did a bunch of shows with him, and you sort of get comfortable talking to B.B. King, you know, like you and I are really comfortable having this conversation, and then halfway through it, you go, that's B.B. King.
Yeah.
Like, it sort of dawns on you that, you know, you're talking about lunch.
Yeah.
When you first meet B.B. King, you tell him how amazing he is, how much you love him, what a difference he's made in your life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 2 weeks later, you're talking about lunch.
Man, what an experience that must have been, touring with B.B.
Oh, thrill of a lifetime. It's a thrill. You know, I'm a music junkie and a music fan, and I'm just privileged enough to play music for a living and to meet my heroes. Man, talk about what a dream come true.
For
absolutely.
Sure. For sure. May he rest in peace.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to go to a song now. Oh, before we do, I wanted to ask you. So you moved from Toronto to Chicago or St. Louis?
I moved to Chicago for a few years, Nashville for a few years,
okay.
And now I live in St. Louis, yeah.
All right, so I'm assuming you left Toronto because the Leafs sucking all these years, not making the playoffs?
Well, I'll tell you, man, people want to know why I got the blues, where it came from, being a Leafs fan. Holy moly. It's like every year they break my heart, and they've never won a cup in my lifetime, and the closest they ever got was the semis, and you would have thought they won the cup. I can't believe it. It's like it's such a major market, Toronto, for hockey.
Yeah.
They make so much revenue from the Leafs. It's like they don't really need to have a winning team.
They don't care. Yeah. So speaking
of
markets now, did that have something to do with your move to the States because of the more of a blues scene down there? Or?
You know, I basically moved to the States because I felt like it was sort of inevitable that I would move if my career got a little bit larger, because you're centrally located. But it's sort of like, if you want to play hockey, you go to Canada, man. You go to Cornwall or Trois-Rivières, and you know, you play with the good old boys, or, you know, Fredericton. And if you want to be an NHL player, that's where you go. You know, if you want to work on race cars, you go to Italy. If you want to be an actor, you go to Hollywood. And I think if you want to play the blues, you go to Chicago or Memphis or something like that.
That
and that's why, you know, the first week I was there, I met Otis Rush and Buddy Guy, so I was like, it's a little bit different than Toronto, you know?
Yeah, so, I imagine. Good stuff. We're going to play a tune. This is, I think, my favorite track on your album. It's the first track, Turn It Up. We'll be right
211,
back.
211, baby. Turn it up.
Turn it up. Anthony Gomes will be right back with more. Anthony Gomes right here on Rosie's Juke Joint.
Come to rock this town, turn the spotlight on the crowd. welcome back to Rosie's Juke Joint. I've got Anthony Gomes with me. I'm so happy to have him on the show, and I'm sure you are too, as we go through his latest release, Electric Field Hauler. And Anthony, I suppose that now, is, would that CD be available in stores as well as online? I imagine it is.
Yeah, you know, it's available at Amazon, iTunes,
right on.
On our website. So there's a bunch of places you can find it.
So we can go on your website, pick up the book, and pick up the latest release of your music.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do.
I like your style.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you should have like a Christmas gift package, you know, wrap them together kind of thing.
You're a visionary, sir. I love it. Yes, absolutely. I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah. So, Anthony, before we leave you, you're also big on giving back. I was reading that you're quite involved. You started a foundation. Tell me about that.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. It's very near and dear to my heart. Sort of simply put, music has been so good to me and those around us that I wanted to do something to help give back. So in 2010, I started something called the Music is the Medicine Foundation with a handful of friends. And we've been able to our mission statement is we believe in the healing power of music. And we believe that music can impact real and tangible change. It's not, you know, we're basically a bunch of hippies. We believe that music can make a big difference.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we've worked with kids with nonverbal autism, and music helps them cope with life. And we've given instruments and instruction to, you know, kids who don't have means to have it. And we also have given some guitars to war veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, nice.
And we had one guy that came to the show, and he said that he had not been able to talk for years, and he just didn't talk. And he got a guitar, and he started to go to lessons, you know, a guitar that we had given him, and a group lessons. And after a few lessons, he started to talk to the guy next to him.
Nice.
Hey, man, how did you play that? And this guy hadn't talked in years, but the sort of the guitar opened up his communication. So, yeah, man. So, I mean, I've just been touched to see this and to be a part of it. And whenever we give and we do fundraisers or whatever, it's a little bit of work on our end, but, boy, the results just make you feel so good.
Yeah.
And it's a reminder, you know, and you see somebody who hasn't talked for years because of, a stress disorder from the war. And
right. You
look at your own life and you go, well, you know, things are good.
Yeah.
You know, we got to help our brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
So
is there like a place if somebody wants to donate for that or?
Absolutely. If they'd like to donate or learn more, they can go to musicisthemedicine.org. That's O-R-G. And, just check it out and read a little bit more. And we'd be honored if they take the time to do that, even just learning about it.
Awesome.
Means a lot. Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, Anthony, listen, it's been a real pleasure to have you on Rosie's Juke Joint. Thanks for coming.
And, hey, thanks for the invite. I had a lot of fun. This was a great interview.
We're going to leave with Whiskey Train. And I don't know if you've got anything to say about that last track that we're going to play or not.
Well, everybody's got one of those stories, right? I mean, yeah, wearing the lampshade and doing something crazy. So you can always blame it on the whiskey.
That's right. Thanks, Anthony. We're leaving just with Whiskey Train. And we'll be back with more blues after this.
heart's flame. I'm flying high again.
Anthony Gomes, Whiskey Train. Man, what a great time I had interviewing him. He's a class act, that's for sure. Let's focus our attention now on some local blues. Of course, Dirk Gillinger is no stranger to Rosie's Juke Joint. I play him here every once in a while. I like his music. We're going to hear Good Time. Here's Dirk Gillinger.
Walked away, told him that you had to meet another friend. Left him standing, freezing in the frozen wind. She spent her time, love and money too. She went to see that someone new. She hung around, never really did much thinking for a shelf. Walls crawled with alcohol, and there was dead bread on the shelf. There were rivers of poverty, lying like rugs upon the floor. There was no place for them to live. Every time they lay down, there was a knock on the door. She lost her interest, I think it was a year ago, late last spring. The paint started peeling, and the bells on the ceiling just stopped ringing. And the clock stopped ticking, and the walls wouldn't talk to him no more. She left their bed unmade, now he's got a better bed down the floor. It was a good time while it lasted. Well, well, it was a good time before it all went to hell. It was a good time before it all went to hell. But it ended up like a match made in hell. Back when they started, lived on love and love alone. She had a supper ready and his choice of wine when he got home. After some time, when the love in the morning ran low, the kitchen started losing heat and the bedroom was closed. Now they're just two folks living 10 years apart, thinking back to the riverbed, the day that they traded hearts. He moved out to the West Coast just to escape it all. She took a place on the Upper East Side, hanging pictures on the wall. It was a good time while it lasted. Well, well, it was a good time before it all went to hell. It was a good time while it lasted. Well, well, but it ended up like a match made in hell, like the angels.
That was Dirk Dillinger with Good Times, Fredericton's own Dirk Dillinger. Listener Rosie's Juke Joint here on CHSR FM 97.9, chsrfm.ca. Coming up next, we've got our classic blues pick of the week, and this week we're going to go with Louis Jordan, and we're going to go with a song entitled... we're going to go with a song entitled, I Know What You're Putting Down. Here it is. Thanks for joining me. See you next week on Rosie's Juke Joint.
There's a whole lot of talk around town about the way you can yourself. There's a whole lot of talk around town about the way you can yourself. You jiving everybody in town, but baby, I know what you're putting down. Everybody's trying to dig you, baby. Everybody but me. Everybody's trying to dig you. Everybody but me. You're fooling everybody in town, but baby, I know what you're putting down. You went out last night to a dinner, a show, and a dance. Ooh, you went out last night to a dinner, show, and a dance. You must have been a perfect clown, but baby, I know what you're putting down. Stay at home. Yes, baby, you got a rambling mind. You just don't want to stay at home. You tell me you're visiting all your relatives in town, but baby, I know what you're putting down. You came home last night with a new hat, new dress, and a new pair of shoes. Yes, you came home at 8 o'clock.
o'clock last night with a new hat, new dress, and a new pair of shoes. You ain't working nowhere in town, so baby, I know what you're putting down.